Welcome to the Doc Talks Podcast, a conversation on what's new and relevant in the world of Canadian medicine and hospital healthcare. I'm your host, Ian Gillespie, and I'm here to ask the questions and find the answers you need to know. We want to help our listeners know how to prevent and detect illness and how to navigate our healthcare system. Be sure to subscribe to the Doc Talks Podcast to stay up to date on new episodes and follow us on Twitter at St. Joseph's London or visit sjhc.london.on.ca/podcast. Hello, I'm Ian Gillespie. Welcome to the Doc Talks Podcast, brought to you by St. Joseph's Healthcare London. According to Osteoporosis Canada, more than 80% of all fractures in people over age 50 are caused by osteoporosis. But once a fracture happens, the disease is often in the advanced stages. Prevention through a healthy lifestyle is possible. And today, I'm exploring that topic with Dr. Kristen Clemens, an endocrinologist in the Osteoporosis and Bone Disease Program at St. Joseph's Hospital and Associate Professor of Medicine at Western University. Dr. Clemens, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we'll just start with the big general question. What is osteoporosis?
Osteoporosis is a really common chronic disease, and it happens when the bones become very thin and fragile. And with this, one can experience fracture, and these fractures typically happen at the spine or the hips and the wrists. And it's most often due to the loss of estrogen that happens in women following menopause.
So are you saying it's more prevalent amongst women as opposed to men?
That's correct. Yeah, it's more common in women, but it can occur in men as well.
I'm just looking at one of my stats here. About 2.3 million Canadians live with the disease. Do we call it a disease or is it a condition?
We do call it a disease. Yeah, and it can be a chronic one. And that number is right. And it probably is just the tip of the iceberg as well, because sometimes people are not diagnosed with osteoporosis. The condition can be difficult to diagnose as it doesn't often have any symptoms.
And though the majority, I've got another stat here, over more than 80% of all fractures caused by osteoporosis are in people 50 and over, right? So again, as you said, this is what, a sort of a loss of bone density and bone strength, if that's a term?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it is quite common, and again, mostly in people who are of older age, mm-hmm. and does lead to these thin and fragile bones that leads to fracture. And that's quite common in the Canadian and North American populations.
So you're saying, though, it's difficult to detect the symptoms? What are the normal symptoms? How does someone figure out that they might have this?
Typically, we make the diagnosis of osteoporosis when we do screening for it. So the way that we screen is by doing a bone mineral density. And that's a technology that really just measures the amount of calcium that's in bone. And if the bones look thin, we can make the diagnosis of osteoporosis. But that thinness of the bone is not really felt by someone or a person living with the disease. What that person would feel, if anything, is if they had a fracture. So that's the other way to diagnose osteoporosis. If someone has a fracture, and we call them fragility fractures or low trauma fractures, we can make the diagnosis. So those types of fractures could be things like just falling from a standing height and breaking a wrist, for example, or even falling out of bed and having a fracture. Those are ones that are atypical and really are in keeping with a diagnosis of osteoporosis.
So it almost sounds like most people are unaware that they have the disease until they've suffered a fracture. Is that correct?
That's right. The skeleton really shouldn't cause any pain unless there's a fracture. Sometimes when we think about osteoporosis, sometimes we think of osteoarthritis as well. And that's really the disease that occurs in the joints that connect the bones. Now that can lead to pain, but osteoporosis itself, just the skeletal disease, doesn't typically.
And you were saying that to detect the disease, you do a sort of a bone screen. Is that like a CT scan?
Yeah. So it's called a bone mineral density test, and it's done in a nuclear medicine department. So at St. Joseph's, we have a bone density scanner, which is called a DEXA scan. And it almost works like an x-ray where someone would lie on the scanner table and typically have pictures taken both of their spine, so the lumbar spine, and then they can also have pictures taken of their hip. And those are the sites that are typically affected by osteoporosis. And so what the radiologist or nuclear medicine doctor that reads the scan does is they can tell how thin the bones are. And if the bones are a certain degree of thinness, that's when we can make the diagnosis of osteoporosis.
And can you talk a little bit about risk factors? Obviously, some people are more prone to osteoporosis than others. Why would that be? What risk factors might be present?
Yeah, so osteoporosis we know is much more common as we age. So older age is a risk factor for osteoporosis. We also know that osteoporosis is partly a genetic disease. So it is more common, particularly in individuals who've had a parent have a fracture, a hip fracture in particular. People who are thinner are at higher risk of osteoporosis. And we also know there's medical conditions that can bring on a risk of osteoporosis. So things might include having an overactive thyroid, any medical condition that can really lead to inflammation in the body can cause osteoporosis. So conditions that cause inflammation would include things like inflammatory bowel disease, like Crohn's or colitis or celiac disease, lung disease, or even liver disease can lead to osteoporosis. There are other things such as medications that can really thin bone and cause osteoporosis. And some of the more common ones would be prednisone or even some of our therapies for breast and prostate cancer. Alcohol use, excessive alcohol use and smoking. And then if a woman goes through menopause early, or if men lose testosterone, then that can also lead to thinning of the bones as well as osteoporosis. So the important thing is when we have people who report some of these risk factors, we make sure that we screen them for osteoporosis earlier. And the way that we would screen them again is by doing the bone density test.
And do you recommend that once you reach a certain age, obviously you recommend that they have this bone screen?
Yeah. So recently there was a new clinical practice guideline released by Osteoporosis Canada in 2023. And it recommends that we really start thinking about bone health around the age of 50 or older, unless there's special circumstances where people might be at particular risk in their youth, but that for most people, those over the age of 70, it's recommended that we have a bone density. But then in some younger groups, again, between the age of 50 and 69, there may be the need to do screening with the bone density a little bit earlier as well. And that really comes down to whether they've had prior fractures that tell us their bone is thin, or if they have some of those risk factors that we spoke about earlier.
And then after age 70, I mean, is it necessary to repeat the bone density test at a certain interval?
Yeah. So once we get the bone density test score, we also make sure that we have a fulsome understanding of a patient's history and their risk factors. And then if someone is at very high risk of having fracture and higher risk osteoporosis, we may want to do rescreening again sooner. So that might be in the next couple of years. Sometimes we'll have people that are at very low risk or of fracture and maybe don't have osteoporosis. And in those situations, if the person is healthy, we can often wait and rescreen them maybe 5 or 10 years later. Okay. So it really depends on their risk and really how significant their bone density scores were at the time of that initial screen.
Right. And you talked about some of the risks, but are there types of prevention, preventative steps that a person can take to sort of delay or prevent the onset of osteoporosis?
Yeah. So the really nice thing about being young, before the age of 30 in particular, is that we can really help to build bone and have a strong skeleton. So when we think about preventing osteoporosis, it's really important for younger people to make sure that they're getting a good amount of calcium in their diet and vitamin D and keep active and really try very diligently to keep the bones strong. Sometimes people can have an earlier menopause or lose the protective effect of estrogen earlier in life. And so in those individuals, to try to prevent osteoporosis, it's really important for them to receive some estrogen under the guidance of an endocrinologist or a gynecologist, and that could help to prevent later osteoporosis. And then the other way to prevent osteoporosis is to make sure that in people who have risk factors, so for example, celiac disease, that we really work hard to try to have control of that disease, because that in turn could prevent osteoporosis down the road. And then I think the other way to really prevent osteoporosis is if we're using some of our higher risk medications. So for example, things like steroids or prednisone, sometimes we may even need to start some of our osteoporosis medications along with those steroids so that we can try to prevent osteoporosis from happening in the future. Prevention's not possible for everyone. Sometimes it really is something that's very strongly carried in their genetics. But we do try to do our best to make sure that we do everything possible to try to prevent its onset or delay its onset in these individuals.
Okay. What about treatment? Obviously, if someone's had a fall, they've fractured a bone, you repair that. But then beyond that, they've had the bone density scan and the test, and they're aware that they do have osteoporosis. What's the process after that?
So the backbone of osteoporosis treatment is really lifestyle changes first. So one of the most important things about osteoporosis and the prevention of fracture is balance and functional training. So by that, I mean trying to keep people on their feet. And so we often recommend exercises that help you to shift your weight, moving from one foot to the other, balance, climbing stairs. There's lots of evidence around exercise like Tai Chi, just to make your core very strong and keep you on your feet. We also often promote the importance of resistance exercise. So we know that muscle pulling on bone can be helpful. And so things like squats and lunges and exercises like push-ups. But we have to be careful because not everyone can engage in these types of activities. And so sometimes it's really helpful to do very small cautious movements or to even work with trained professionals to try to move safely. We also recommend that people have a balanced and healthy diet. So for example, if someone has alcohol that perhaps they need some cutting down on or need some assistance with smoking cessation, these are important to maintain our bone health. We counsel around the importance of calcium. And so we recommend that people try to have about 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams of calcium, preferably from their diet, as one of the building blocks of bone. And then vitamin D is something we do lots of talking around. So we try to encourage people to have at least 800 international units of vitamin D, which in Canada typically has to happen around supplements. And there are some really great resources on the Osteoporosis Canada website around some of these lifestyle pieces. If we have people that are at particularly high risk of fracture, then they might benefit from special medications to try to keep the bone strong and prevent fracture. And these medications, there's several of them now available in Canada, and they all have very different mechanisms of action. So we try to choose one that might be the best fit for the patient or the one that the patient is most interested in. And again, really work to try to make those bones as strong as possible, try to prevent future fractures from happening.
Right. So obviously it's connected so intrinsically to age, and we have an increasingly aging population. Are we therefore seeing more and more incidents of osteoporosis caused fractures?
Yes, we are. Yes. And I think this will continue to be something that challenges us over the next several years. It is quite common, and we expect that there will be an increasing number of Canadians living with this condition.
Right. I mean, this can be far more serious. Not that a fracture isn't serious, but the results can be far more serious. I'm just looking at this one stat that says more women die from osteoporotic fractures than from breast and ovarian cancer combined.
Yeah, you're indeed correct. So hip fracture in particular can have a significant outcome for people, and back fractures. Both would lead to a significant amount of pain and a reduction in function. Right. Both can also lead to hospital admission. So hip fractures in particular, admissions to long-term care, to nursing homes. And we also know that fractures or the consequences of fracture, for example, things like pneumonia, can even lead to death for some individuals. So it is really an important disease to pay attention to. Unfortunately, we know that there continues to be a treatment gap with management of osteoporosis. So we know that even if people are discharged with the hip fracture, sometimes they still don't get on the medications that they need to get on. And so we'll always be focused in research as well as quality improvement on how to try to get osteoporosis better treated so that we can try to prevent some of these really life-changing outcomes for patients.
And so going back again, the significance or the importance of having the bone density test, right? So that would normally, I guess, be set up by a family doctor. What about someone, maybe someone has an aging parent or someone is aging and they don't have a family doctor? Can they arrange such a test on their own?
So first line, absolutely. Family doctor right. would typically be doing screening. If people don't have access to a family doctor and have to use a walk-in clinic, for example, for services, then they could absolutely be referred to an osteoporosis program. So we do have an osteoporosis program at St. Joseph's Hospital called the Osteoporosis and Bone Disease Program. And our job is really to screen people with a bone density if they've not had one done and assist with the diagnosis, management, and counseling. And then for people who do need to start on treatment, get that treatment started for them. So they could most certainly be referred into our program or a similar program across the province or country. We have a nice service available at St. Joseph's Hospital for people who may be at risk of osteoporosis, who are living with osteoporosis. And so we have a one-stop shop, I like to call, where patients can have their bone density and x-rays taken. They can have a history and physical exam with one of our physicians, and they can have blood work on that same day. We offer education about the disease, and we have program nurses who can assist with providing extra education for those in need. We do a lot of lifestyle counseling at the osteoporosis program and refer to some online and community resources. So for example, physiotherapists that might be specialized in osteoporosis within the community. We have a fulsome discussion around the treatments available for osteoporosis. Many of our medications can be prescribed to people. We also have a special unit where some of our nurses can provide some of our intravenous or subcutaneous treatments for osteoporosis. Most of our treatments are oral and can be taken at home, but some of them are taken in a different manner, and our nurses are most happy to provide people with these therapies should they need them. And then for many of our patients, we offer follow-up. And so we will visit with them once every couple of years to make sure they're doing well with their treatments and do their bone densities again and make sure that we're communicating this information back to their other care providers and family physicians. To highlight as well, we also have a special program that's in partnership with the Hand and Upper Limb Clinic at St. Joseph's. And this clinic is really focused on managing people who've had a recent upper limb fracture. Patients are referred by their orthopedic surgeons to one of our doctors. And the idea behind this is really to try to prevent fractures from happening again. We know that people who've had a fracture are at higher risk of having another fracture, particularly within a couple of years of their first fracture. So it's a really important time to try to make sure that we're optimizing their bone health as best we can. So that clinic has been available at St. Joe's for the past 6 years now.
So Dr. Clemens, is there any kind of overlap between, say, the osteoporosis and bone disease program and the pain management program at St. Joseph's?
Yeah, it's a very common reason for a referral. Unfortunately, our physicians ourselves, we don't prescribe pain medications, but certainly we can connect to some of the resources available at St. Joseph's. So the pain program sometimes will refer into anesthesia for local pain strategies. Most of our programming is really focused around trying to prevent those fractures from happening again. But it is a real problem, and the pain associated with these fractures can last a long, long time. And I know they cause quite a bit of limitation and discomfort for our patients.
Okay. And what about the future? Are there any new treatments on the horizon or preventative measures that might be being developed right now?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, we had some new therapies come out, and these therapies were focused around bone building. And as I mentioned earlier, before the age of 30, 35, we can build bone, but that doesn't happen as we get older. So these new medications, or new medication, I should say, because one has actually been around for some time, but this new one actually works to build bone at both the spine, where it often becomes thin, and at the hip. So it's a really nice opportunity for people who have severe disease to be able to use. There's been a lot of research around how to use those bone building medications and when to best use them. And so that's been a topic of lots of conversation at some of our recent osteoporosis conferences. And so I think that will continue to be a focus of discussion over the next several months. The other interesting research that's been done is really focused on special groups of people who live with osteoporosis. So there's been a little bit more about osteoporosis and its complexity in people living with kidney disease, for example, diabetes, for example. We've been paying more attention to the benefits of exercise on bone and the specific types of exercise that might be helpful to people. And then again, those recent guidelines that we had published were long awaited and have generated some more excitement around this disease and really trying to manage patients the best we can in Canada. So no brand new drugs on the horizon, but lots of older ones that might be helpful to get people treated and treated more adequately to try to prevent fracture in the future.
Is St. Joseph's doing any new research regarding osteoporosis?
Yeah, we are. So we are doing some work to understand how to best prevent fracture in people with kidney disease. We have a small pilot randomized controlled trial that's focused on a drug in kidney disease in particular. We know that some people have been understudied. Some populations of patients have been understudied in some of our larger trials of treatments like Prolia, for example. And so this is some research that we're advancing here. We're also doing things like what are called, you know, cohort studies, where we're following some of our folks that we see at their hand and upper limb clinic appointment over time to see how they do with their osteoporosis and osteoporosis therapy after being seen by us in our post-fracture program. And then we have a lot of quality improvement studies that we're doing. So our program, we're small three physicians, but we're always looking to make sure that we're providing the highest quality service to patients in our community and do a lot of work to understand whether our processes are appropriate and, of course, whether we're making a difference in our community members, specifically at St. Joe's. So lots of activity and a really, really engaged group of physicians and nurses and administrators here at the hospital.
Well, that's all good information, and hopefully this will be of some help to our listeners. Dr. Clemens, thanks so much for joining us and sharing your insight.
You're very welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
That's it for this episode of the Doc Talks podcast. Thanks for joining us. And join us next time when we'll continue our conversation on what's new and relevant in the world of Canadian medicine and hospital healthcare. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at St. Joseph's London, or visit sjhc.london.on.ca/podcast. Until then, stay healthy.